This past week, President Bush confronted foreign policy challenges, continued to stump for support of a tax cut, reversed last-minute Clinton administration environmental protections, and watched the stock market continue to toss and tumble despite a half-point cut in interest rates by the Federal Reserve. The pace is typical of the level of energy coming from the White House since the inauguration. Two Washington insiders who have been watching the president and his administration in their first months in office join us. Fred Barnes is executive editor of the Weekly Standard. Welcome back, Fred.
Glad to be here, Leanne.
And Doyle McManus is Washington Bureau Chief of the Los Angeles Times. Hi again, Doyle.
Hi, Leanne.
The president's management style, according to, I guess, conventional thinking, has been described as a hands-off CEO. Are those your observations?
A historian once described President Eisenhower's presidency as the hidden hand presidency, and I half suspect that's what we're going to find about George W. Bush. He is using lieutenants in a lot of these things. Dick Cheney, the vice president, of course, is a particularly important figure there. But we're seeing an awful lot of action going on an awful lot of fronts. And when you ask the president about it, when he gets hit by a question on the rope line, he knows what's going on.
But he's delegating responsibility.
But he's delegating. So the CEO part of it may be accurate. The hands-off, I think, is where we may be exaggerating.
Fred, how much progress do you think the president is making on his tax cut? There were some indications from him this past week that he might be willing to compromise. The Democrats are even embracing an idea of adding, $60 billion in cuts for this year alone. Is this the search for common ground here that it is inevitable, I think, in Washington?
There's also agreement that there's going to be an early tax cut that uses the surplus for the current fiscal year, 2001. Democrats just want to send out checks based on that. Republicans say, no, we have to include the tax rate cuts because then people they'll spend the money knowing that more will be down the line because they won't be having as much grabbed out of their paychecks by a tax withholding.
Doyle.
In a sense, the Democrats are trying to hijack the tax cut, or they're trying to hijack President Bush's new argument for the tax cut,
right,
which is that the flagging economy needs a shot in the arm. What the Democrats would like to do, if they can, is produce some immediate refunds or rebates to people at the lower end of the income scale and
right,
forget all that stuff
right,
in year four and year
yeah,
five and year six,
right,
which is where the big money is. This isn't yet a slam dunk because, in fact, there has been a lot of support on both sides coalescing behind that early tax cut, and it has been interesting to see the president send out signals to moderate Republicans like Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe of Maine that if they want to talk about something that doesn't make the later big tax cuts automatic, he's willing to talk about that. Now, in a way, that isn't the biggest concession in the world because
right,
you can never tie Congress's hands 4 or 5 years down the road.
What about labor, Fred? The president has already stepped in to stop a strike by mechanics at Northwest Airlines. He says he'll do it again. He did get some good blue-collar support during this election. Does he risk losing that constituency?
Well, there are, in so many of these unions, about a third of the members are Republicans. I don't think he's going to lose them. He didn't get paycheck protection in the campaign finance bill, but he has been fairly anti-labor union and anti-labor leader. He put the Beck decision into effect, and then he said that on projects like building this new big bridge or rebuilding one across the Potomac River, the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, you don't have to just hire union labor. The ergonomics rules from OSHA were pushed heavily by labor, and they were crushed by the business community. This is going to be a president who I don't think worries much about labor leaders because they've done the same thing environmentalists have had, and they have no influence on this president.
I think Fred is right about labor and wrong on the environment. I think labor leaders have isolated themselves from the center. I think on environmental issues, if smart Democrats can figure out how to put together a campaign on that, the president may have a problem.
Let's talk a little bit about foreign policy, international, because there has been quite a bit of action this past week, meetings with Japan's Prime Minister Mori on economic matters, Israeli Prime Minister Sharon on the Middle East. We have the decision to expel 50 Russian diplomats from the country. Are you seeing any common threads emerging here from what the president's been saying and doing on foreign policy?
I think we are seeing two, Leanne. One on issues like Israel and the Balkans. This is a president who wants to take his time before jumping in, who has principally a domestic agenda. And you know what? That's what almost every president does early in a term. We have all forgotten that 8 years ago, Bill Clinton spent the better part of his first year holding off those foreign policy problems until he could no longer ignore them. The other thing we are seeing on the issue of the two big nuclear powers out there, Russia and China, the Bush foreign policy is markedly different from the Clinton foreign policy. George W. Bush and Dick Cheney aren't trying to turn Russia and China into our strategic partners. They see them principally as threats, either potential threats or, in some cases, actual threats, and that's how they're responding.
As a presidential candidate, Mr. Bush kept repeating the mantra, I'm a uniter, not a divider. I know we're only 2 months into the administration. It's a little early to tell, but do either of you see efforts actually to unite the country that seemed to be so evenly split during this election?
I think we saw some concerted and quite admirable efforts early in the administration to change the tone, reaching out to Democrats, going to the Democratic retreats, even something as small but symbolic as inviting the Kennedy family to a screening of a movie at the White House. That being said, George W. Bush is a conservative Republican president. He has a conservative Republican majority in the House, and he has a quasi-majority in the Senate and a program he wants to get through. You can't be a uniter and the champion of a conservative partisan Republican platform at the same time.
Well, you could do it a little bit, though. I mean, there are some things he's done that are different. He does not attack Democrats much. He will disagree with them, but he doesn't attack them. You know, he didn't get involved personally in the nomination fights for John Ashcroft for Attorney General or Gail Norton for the Interior Department. He did show up for the retreats. He has lunches with Tom Daschle, the Senate Majority Leader, and Tom Daschle gets tired of being called Tommy all the time. He's met with Dick Gephardt. He's met with the Black Congressional Black Caucus and so on, and he has toned down the rhetoric. But Doyle's exactly right. This is a conservative president. How people got the idea that somehow Bush's biggest problem as president was going to be dealing with conservative Republicans in the House of Representatives, I'll never know. The conservative Republicans there are ecstatic to have him as president. They see him as almost a total ally.
Fred Barnes is executive editor of the Weekly Standard. Doyle McManus is Washington bureau chief of the Los Angeles Times. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks.
Enjoyed it.